Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Amy Mann's most recent album, Charmer, was released on her own Super Ego label in September of last year. It was her eighth solo album after splitting with her new wave band Till Tuesday in 1990.
When you're a charmer, the apples fall.
Amy Mann is playing at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, New York on Thursday, April 18th at 8 p.m. Ted Leo will open. For more information about the show, visit HelsinkiHudson.com. It is very cool for me to be able to welcome Amy Mann to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
First, I should ask, how are you and Ted Leo saying hashtag both? Just both or hashtag both?
We say it both and then we spell it hashtag both.
Okay. The show you're playing at Club Helsinki in Hudson will also feature Ted Leo. You're playing shows together is a relatively new thing. How did you two decide to collaborate?
Well, because we've been playing on the same bill for a while. I think we started in September. We did a couple, three tours together this year. Well, we were friends before, but we became closer friends, and you know, we're watching each other's shows. And then there was a song that he was playing that I asked to play bass on because I was super into this song, and so I started playing bass on this song and then singing on a couple things, and we were like, we should write some songs together. So in the breaks between tours, we wrote a couple of songs and thought, well, let's record it, you know, let's have it be a project.
The recording isn't done yet though, is it, or is it?
Some of it's done, it hasn't been mixed.
Okay.
We're hoping, it's just an EP so far. Although we want to keep writing songs, but so far the idea is to put the EP out at the end of the summer.
And will it be out on Super Ego, on your label?
I think it's going to be out on Matador, on his label.
Oh, cool. What is the sort of composition of the show, if you know yet, at Club Helsinki?
This show is, we're sort of back to doing our more separate things.
Okay.
I'll probably play a couple of songs with him. Like, he'll go on first, and then I'll come out for a couple of songs. And then he comes out and sings with me on a couple of things during my show. It's more separate. It's not really the both show.
Gotcha. Charmer came out in September of last year, and it was your first original album in 5 years, which doesn't seem like a terribly long time to me, but then everything I read about it was like her first album in 5 years, like five.
I thought it was four, so it suddenly got. Suddenly sounds a lot longer.
Maybe it's four, but either four or five, it doesn't seem too long to me. Does it feel like a long time to you? Whichever.
It didn't really, just because I was sort of doing other things, and you know, I mean, I think time just kind of like gets away from you. You know, there were other projects that I was involved with, and also so much of like post when you put out a record. First of all, it always seems like it's finished and then it doesn't come out for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of adds a, you know, like a year to the tally.
Right.
And then when you put out a record, there's so much touring in the next year, you know, or 2 years even, that, you know, I mean, that's kind of like 3 years right there. So, you know, and then throw in a year to write and record. So that kind of brings you up to four. That's my justification anyway.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. Like, how are you going to tour and get a new album out at the same time? It's not possible.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to write on the road too. I mean, I could do a little bit of just coming up with kind of raw, like little initial, very simple ideas, but to actually get down to it and concentrate and, you know, sort of write lyrics and stuff, I kind of need to be at home.
And at home, do you have a designated area or time of day that you tend to write
You know, I never used to, but like in the past, I don't know, like probably since I put out this record, I thought, you know, instead of like waiting for inspiration because God only knows when that's going to happen, I thought I would just sit down and, you know, for a minimum of 15 minutes every day, just pick a thing and work, you know, and work on it, or just pick up a guitar and fool around and play some chords or whatever. And, you know, and if I don't have any ideas, then fine, then I'll just move on. But I do find that, you know, I mean, it's kind of that old cliche, like, inspiration can't really hit, you know, like, it's, you get more done if inspiration hits while you're holding a guitar and, you know, like, with a notebook in front of you. It did kind of get me in a mode of writing more, so I think I might be able to put out a record, a new record besides the Both record. I'm kind of thinking, like, maybe in a year, which is, which would be pretty brisk, but I'll see if I can do some recording this summer.
I saw in a description of the record that said it seemed as if you were, throughout the record, like the story of the record, was getting rid of a cynical frame of mind. Do you think that that's true? Is that a story of that record for you?
Getting rid of a cynical frame of mind? That's interesting. I'm not even sure.
It was the reviewer's take on it, not something you said.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm much of a cynical person, I have to say. I don't know if I had to, like, throw that off in some here.
Daisy, you shouldn't do the things you do, but you're just so incapable of changing. You lie so well, I could never even tell what were facts and your artful rearranging. I came back for
Tom Sharpling, as you know, directed the music video for Labrador. And just in case anybody listening doesn't know who he is, which hopefully they do, he's the host of The Best Show on WFMU, and he's a comedian and a TV writer and producer. And he's directed videos, music videos for The New Pornographers and Titus Andronicus and Ted Leo and you and others. How did you guys start to work together? How did this video come about?
Well, there's sort of a whole circle of comics and musicians around Tom. I met him through Paul F. Tompkins, so, you know, several years ago. So I've known Tom for a while. He also directed the video for my song Charmer. So we did two. We kind of did two at once.
That's right.
The Labrador video and the Charmer video. There's like a bunch of, you know, kind of music comedy hybrids that swirl around Tom. There's like a whole like little scene that happens around him. I think he just did a thing for the Postal Service, too, because he's friends with Ben Gibbard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's great. I mean, I feel like he should be directing, you know, a lot of other stuff. I think he's pretty fantastic.
You mentioned the comedian-musician circle that, you know, swirls around him, but also then, since you're part of it, you swirl in it, too. Do you go to a lot of stand-up shows? Does watching your friends as comics, does watching their work, is that something that you like to do?
I really love to watch really great comics at work because it's just really fascinating how, you know, I mean, when I write, I have to sit alone and kind of get into the right vibe and have a certain amount of concentration. But to see people who can kind of come up with stuff on the spot is really amazing. I do have a lot of comedian friends, and just I like to see them do stand-up, but just kind of being around them, you see that they're always practicing and they're always thinking about the comedic possibilities in every topic that comes up, and that's kind of fascinating to me.
In 2011, you were invited to the White House for a celebration of American poetry and prose. Would you mind telling us about the experience of that day?
Oh, that was really amazing. I think I had a fan on the social, you know, whoever does this kind of like social calendar stuff, the secretary, I had a fan somewhere in the staff, and I got included in that. It was like a two-part thing. In the afternoon was a seminar for high school students where the poets kind of talked about their process and inspirations and that kind of thing, and I was part of that, and Michelle Obama gave a speech, and you know, and I found it really inspiring to listen to these poets talk about process and just how they approach poetry and language, and it kind of like set up the day to be this really magical thing, because it was very exciting, obviously, to be at the White House and then to know I was going to play, you know, for the president and the first lady later that night, but just kind of, you know, seeing the atmosphere in the White House and seeing how dedicated Michelle Obama was to bringing the importance of arts into education, and just having the sort of art and culture and, you know, associated with the White House. And I just, it kind of just made me think about the place that art plays in people's lives and its importance in a whole different way, in a way I really hadn't thought of before. So really the whole day was really kind of inspiring and, you know, had a really big impact on me, way more than I thought it would.
And a lasting impact, something you still
think about. Yeah, I mean, I really, you know, like started to kind of seriously think about the transformative power of art, you know, and that it's kind of what sets us apart from, you know, just a herd of animals.
Speaking of herds of animals, sort of.
Can't wait to see what the segue is.
When you are approached by fans, are you more often recognized for your music, The Big Lebowski, or Portlandia?
At this point, it's Portlandia.
Yeah.
Yeah. People love that show. It's such a great show. I'm, you know, I think Fred Armisen's a complete genius, and we've been pals for a long time, and I was really happy to be a part of that.
Do you know how many episodes you've done? I should have looked.
Oh,
up,
I just did one. Yeah.
Really, it was just one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the impact has been incredible then, because I was thinking it had to be at least two.
I mean, I would love to go back and do more, but yeah, just even that one. I mean, people have really. I think it, you know, it really gets around.
Yeah. I know it wasn't recently that you were nominated for the Oscar for Magnolia, so I hate to be, you know, one of the people who continues to bring it up. But does being nominated for an Oscar mean anything to your career other than that interviewers like me ask you about it all the time?
You know, anything like that makes people think twice or, you know, like, or take a second look. And I think that if, you know, I mean, it's just this kind of thing that gives weight to your career, you know, to be able to say, like, yeah, I was nominated for an Oscar, rather than, yeah, I'm another singer-songwriter that you may or may not have heard of. And that can only help.
Where did your interest in boxing come from?
There's a good friend of mine who I was, like, in a group therapy group with, and he was this very tortured guy, but he was not a professional boxer, but like an amateur boxer. And he was just kind of was teaching me some moves. And I started to get interested in it through, he was actually the guy who had the term the forgotten arm, which I just thought was really funny. I mean, I think he kind of approached boxing in more of a clownish sort of way. But, you know, that was kind of one of his sort of gags of like, here's this move, you know, I call it the forgotten arm. But, you know, and then I started just working out at a boxing gym and became friends with Freddie Roach, who's like a really respected boxing trainer, and got more into it. I mean, I haven't done it in quite a while because it's pretty hard to keep up when you're, you know, on the road and, you know, in the cycle of touring and making records.
And you had been working on a musical sort of concept adaptation of your album, The Forgotten Arm, but it stalled. Is making a musical something that you hope you'll accomplish at some point?
Oh, yeah. We have a different writer, and he's just been super busy.
Okay.
So, you know, he's been busy, and we've been busy. And he's also in New York, and I'm writing, you know, other songs with my producer, Paul Bryan. You know, we wrote a bunch of new songs. But, you know, I think it's just, like, his schedule has to clear out, and the same with ours. And so far, we're just kind of, you know, continuing to barrel through. Like, you know, I'm doing a bunch more touring and starting in September and possibly July. And I'm going to try to record some new stuff in the summer and keep writing and have this both record. And so, you know, it's kind of hard to know, like, okay, when can we really, like, sit down and concentrate on it. But it's the other writer is David Henry Huang, and he's like a very extremely talented, I think he won a Tony for M. Butterfly, if I'm not mistaken, too. He's kind of like a heavy hitter. And, you know, just an awesome guy.
Do you have a big song you have to play at your live shows to satisfy people, or do you get to build your set depending on how you're sort of feeling that night?
I mean, we have a set that we rehearse because, you know, you can't really, you know, sometimes I'll wing it, but never like a whole set, you know.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll throw in extra songs or different songs, but it's good to have a set that you know works,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you're not like always, you know, having to switch guitars or, you know, whatever. I mean, just even practical considerations like that. Mostly I play songs that, I mean, if there's a song I really don't want to play, I just don't play it.
Right.
You know, because I don't want to have that, I don't want to have a moment in the set where I'm going, oh, I could, I'm not looking forward to this dumb thing.
Amy Mann, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today. I'm super psyched for the show at Helsinki Hudson.
Thank you.
And yeah, thanks again. Have a great day.
Thanks so much.
Amy Mann and Ted Leo will be at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, New York on Thursday, April 18th. For more information about the show, visit HelsinkiHudson.com. Amy Mann's website is amymann.com. That's AimeeMann.com. The music in this segment is from Amy's most recent album, Charmer. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
You build bombs, you're familiar with explosions. The flat palms are the holiday. But there's time crawling back up from the ocean. You can't keep everyone at bay. Gamma ray. Gamma ray. It all starts with an accident or failure. It all starts with a great big bang. And guess who's gonna have to play the jailer? And guess who's gonna lead the chain?